Hi friends, in this section I am going to discuss about the causes and the cures of industrial unrest. I mean, you all will appreciate that industrial unrest is not good for anybody because it leads to the losses of productive time, so to speak, finally leading to the recession and leading to unemployment. So let us kind of, you know, do the deep diving into what are the causes and what could be the cures of industrial unrest. Industrial unrest is defined as the conflict between employers and workers in industries. The industrial labor displays their protest in the form of strikes, gheraos, go-slow tactics, demonstration, and so on. Whereas the employers show their might by retrenchment, dismissal, and at times lockouts. Industrial unrest causes industrial recession, leading to decline in national income, which is not good for anybody. Industrial unrest is a name that we apply to the condition of the public mind when individual workmen have become restless and discontented because they are unhappy in their job. So that's the definition aspect. Moving on, what are the causes of industrial unrest? Let us discuss. Well, it could be wage-related issues. It could be lack of welfare and social security. It could be poor working conditions. It could be trade unions and their rights to bargain. So necessarily, it could be the reasons leading to the discontentment of the workers, a sense of hopelessness that leads to the frustration and getting translated into industrial unrest. There are several other examples like contractualism of work. It could be job insecurity. It could be socio-economic issues, poverty, unemployment, social concerns. It could be wave of globalization leading to low-cost production alternatives such as outsourcing and automation. It could be rising wages and low productivity leading to competitiveness and profitability issues. So these, the last 2 points are quite evident in today's technology-led time where, you can procure the things from anywhere, from the geography where the labor cost is lower and thereby outsourcing some of the processes which were part of your organization, leading to finally retrenchment, leading to finally joblessness. All these things put together, they kind of give rise to the huge discontentment and the unrest. Well, industrial unrest due to pandemic like COVID-19, let us discuss this subject also, because COVID-19 was quite disruptive in the sense that in our lifetime, at least, it never happened. This was the first time we went through this kind of, very unusual, very, very disruptive kind of experience. So strikes occurred during the COVID-19 pandemic due to many factors, including hazard pay or low pay, unsafe working conditions due to poor social distancing or lack of personal protective equipment, inability to pay rent. These strikes are separate from the various protests that occurred over responses to the pandemic. Protest, demonstration, and strikes occurred around the world against national responses to the COVID-19 pandemic by governmental bodies. So they are also kind of, you know, other kind of protest, you can say, and demonstration. Some strikes were driven by the financial hardships resulting from government measures to contain the virus, including restrictions on travel and entertainment, hitting related industries and workers hard. Protests also occurred in opposition to restriction on people's movements, compulsory wearing of face masks, lockdowns, vaccinations, and other measures. Some protests were driven by COVID-19 misinformation. So in order to prevent the spread of COVID-19 pandemic, governments brought in health measures at varying level of restrictions to restrict the movement of people and transmission of the virus. In response to these restrictions, protests have been organized at a number of locations around the world, and strikes have also occurred. Some of the protests have criticized government for not acting effectively enough in their responses to the pandemic, while others have opposed to preventive measures and called for their revocation. Let us discuss now the effects of poor IR on an organization, which are reflected ultimately in form of low employee morale and productivity, absenteeism, low turnover, resistance to change, strikes and several types of conflicts, pressure tactics, exercise against management. Thus, poor IR benefits to none. As a matter of fact, I would like to emphasize here that in today's, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous world, where things are changing very fast, it is very important for the management to prevent any such kind of unrest. Rather, create a very deep level engagement with the workers so that the workers can be future ready, can be made future ready. Workers can have a great sense of happiness and well-being. Only then they'll be able to give their everything. They'll be intellectually and emotionally engaged. Hence the need for developing sound IR in an industrial organization is very, 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 very important. By the way, this sound IR does not limit only to the compliance aspect. It goes much beyond. It goes to the level of engagement, true engagement, deep engagement between the management and the workers. The factors which result into poor industrial relation. Let us discuss what are those factors. So it is their nature of work, their dissatisfactory compensation and work conditions, dysfunctional trade union, non-conducive organizational climate. We'll be discussing about that. There are some factors that deteriorate employee relations. What are those factors? Overworking, underpaying, workplace bullying, consistent failure to appreciate, consistently making employees feel like their efforts are meaningless, making employees feel useless, failing to provide adequate benefits or incentives, favoritism and singling out, too much rigidity. Here, I would like you to connect, you know, these factors with Maslow's hierarchy. So it starts right from the basic needs of human being to goes up to the self-actualization level. So if organization is not able to provide the proper compensation, meet the safety and well-being needs, help people to collaborate at workplace in proper manner, create the sense of safety, and at a I would say highest level, create a sense of self-actualization through work. Okay. Management would not be able to create a congenial atmosphere for workmen, and thereby management would be, in a manner of speaking, constraining the organization to grow in sustainable manner. What are some of the major causes of poor employer-employee relations? Well, they are economic causes, organizational causes, social causes, psychological causes, and political causes. We are going to discuss about each one of them one by one. Let us discuss economic causes. What does economic causes mean? It could be poor wages. It could be poor working conditions. It could be unauthorized deduction from wages. It could be lack of fringe benefits. It could be absence of promotional opportunities. It could be dissatisfaction with the performance appraisal methods. It could be faulty incentive schemes. So, what are the sort of, you know, cure measures coming to our mind for these causes? So, you know, there must be sort of, you know, transparency, enough transparency between the management and the workman. There should be clear laid down policies. The wages compensation should be equitable, and there should not be, like, you know, unfairness. So these are the things must be taken care. When employers deny equitable and fair remuneration, we discussed, and good working and living condition to the working class, trade unions agitate and industrial place peace is disturbed. So, I mean, we have come across this kind of phenomenon, in recent past also. What do organizational causes include? There are faulty communication system, dilution of supervision and command, non-recognition of trade unions, unfair practices, violation of collective agreements and standing orders and labor laws. So clearly, communication must be honest, transparent, very clear. Management should not renege what management has agreed to pay. Management should be supportive. Management should take the union and the workers in confidence. That's the only way to kind of allow the organization to grow in sustainable manner. And that is in the interest of everybody, workers and management. There are some other points as well pertaining to organizational causes. There are inadequate infrastructural facilities, worn out plant and machinery, poor layout, unsatisfactory maintenance, other physical and technical causes. I have personally kind of, you know, come across a few places where I visited in different capacities, and I found the workers' condition very, very pathetic because of the infrastructure problem, because of the you know, extended working hours. There was no proper sort of, you know, mechanism in place to take care of worker safety, etc., etc. Social causes. Uninteresting nature of work is the main social cause. Factory system and specialization have made worker a subordinate to the machine. Worker has lost sense of pride and satisfaction in the job. Tensions and conflicts in society, breakup of joint family system, growing importance, all these things put together have also led to poor employer-employee relations. Dissatisfaction with job and personal life culminates into industrial conflicts. Now, let us kind of discuss about the psychological causes. Lack of job security, that has become very, very prominent in today's time because of the way technological evolution is replacing many jobs and roles, and the skills are becoming redundant. People are having, you know, the sense of insecurity. Poor organizational culture, the culture of hiring and firing, culture of not recognizing people for their contribution, lack of transparency, these things put together, that create a psychological reason to kind of, you know, feeling unsafe. Authoritative administration. If administration is not participative, not inclusive, that can create frustration in the mind of people. Poor interpersonal relation could be another thing. People are meant to collaborate, to kind of, you know, establish the camaraderie at the workplace. But if workplace is not designed culturally to have an interpersonal relation, good interpersonal relation, then that can lead to a psychological tension. So these are the psychological reasons for unsatisfactory employer-employee relations. Political causes. Well, political nature of trade unions, multiple unions, and inter-union rivalry, they put together weaken the trade union movement. In the absence of strong and responsible trade unions, collective bargaining becomes ineffective. The outsiders who become union leaders by making wild promises to workers make excessive demand on employers. When employers do not accept their demands, conflicts arise, spoiling the employer-employee relations climate in the country. The trade union leaders try image building exercises. Now, how can we prevent the labor unrest? Well, there seems to be only three lines of approach to the problem of prevention. One is at human relationship level, human relationship between employer and employee. The business relationship between the parties and condition of the industry in which both are engaged. So here I'll tell you one story. You know, I had joined one company where, you know, things were not in good shape. The company had made huge loss. And I was actually tasked to drive the total productive maintenance concept implementation in this company. Now, the union leaders, they were hell-bent not to allow to implement the TPM concept. Because they felt that, you know, TPM concept is just a management jargon and the management has some hidden agenda and it is not in the interest of the workers and the union leaders. So when first time I had a dialogue with them, they would start kind of, they started shouting at me. They started saying that come what may, we'll not allow because this is not in the interest of workers. But when I convinced them, okay, this discussion is not between the management and workers, but this discussion is between human beings, human to human. When I said that, like you, I am also someone's brother, someone's husband, someone's son, the entire, you know, the tone of the discussion, conversation got changed. And then I put forth my point. I said that, you know, I visited the workplace and I found that the working condition is not safe. There are a lot of waste materials. Workers are not kind of, you know, finding it to sort of, you know, good to sort of, you know, visit the workplace. So why don't you think to sort of, you know, collectively address these issues? And when I told them that, you know, my way of TPM is not about creating PowerPoint presentations and creating reams and reams of papers, then they were convinced. When I said that, you know, through TPM, I am going to make the workers' life much better, safer, the workplace cleaner, then they all got convinced. So, you know, through this process, collectively, in 4 months' time, we were able to transform the entire factory. And the same factory where some fatal accidents took place last year, next year, the same factory got British Safety Award, Sword of Honor from the President of India. So, friends, the point I'm trying to make here that if you are able to establish good human relationship, business relationship, and if you could create the condition of the industry in which both the parties are engaged, then you can really create a great transformation. Transformation which leads to the growth of the organization and the betterment of the workman. Moving on, there would be no industrial unrest if an employer's first concern were the welfare of his employees. Like in my example, I mentioned that I started with the condition of the employees, working condition. That actually sort of, you know, was like, you know, music to their ear. The second was the employees' first concern was the giving of loyal services. So employer and employee. So if employee is ready to give their best and the loyal services and employer is there to take care of the employees, there will always win-win kind of situation. So when we describe people as employers and employees, we are classifying them with reference to the opposition of their interest and are emphasizing the fact that the fruits of employees' work belong to the employer upon the mere payment of a fair wage. Under such business relationship, the self-restraint of the parties is pretty much the only solution. So there should be a business relationship in which all who are connected with the business are co-owners. It is at least a pleasant dream to picture an industrial situation in which all those related in the common job share profits and participate in management. A possible third line of approach to the prevention of industrial unrest is the stabilizing of the particular industry in question. It is a fact that the most labor troubles develop in industries that are themselves on an unsound economic basis. So we must kind of, you know, be cognizant of this fact that in today's time, when we are kind of groping with a lot of uncertainties because of the various factors, it takes time for an industry, for a company to get stabilized. So this is a leadership role to appreciate this fact and get engaged at much deeper level with the unions with the workers and thereby create a good atmosphere. So what are the corrective actions for reducing industrial unrest? There should be a rational wage policy evolved in such a way that it may increase with the effect of rising prices. The principle of one industry, one union should be followed. Outside leaders holding positions of the office bearers of a union should be discouraged. The center should provide for statutory recognition of sole bargaining agent and methods of determining the representative status of a union. The workers themselves should take over the leadership of trade union. It is necessary to strengthen and streamline the industrial relations machinery. A speedy action must be taken to remove the grievance of the workers. Settlement must run their full course. The contract system of engaging labor should be abolished wherever possible. More attention should be given to training of workers. Better communication must be ensured. Harmonious union management relationship, very, very important. Change in workmen's attitude is necessary. It is to be achieved by continuous education and motivation of the workers. Suitable schemes for payment of productivity linked bonus should be evolved in all industrial enterprises. Finally, the workers should be given opportunities to take part in management. This can check labor unrest. So that's from my side. Thanks a lot, friends.